You're listening to the Overeaters Anonymous Mid-Peninsula podcast. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. For more information, please visit oamidpeninsula.org.
Hey everybody, my name's Kim and I am a compulsive overeater. And I want to thank you for the meeting and thank you for your service. I really appreciate anyone that does service to keep this meeting alive, and especially the easy transition that you guys did getting meetings hooked up during the pandemic. It certainly saved my life. I had never been without a face-to-face meeting or the availability of a face-to-face meeting in my whole recovery. And it was, it rocked my world for sure. So getting back to meetings even more frequently because I could just, you know, flip open my laptop was a great, great gift to me. So thank you everybody for that. I think I'd like to start with a reading today, and I'm reading out of Voices of Recovery, and it's January 10th. And there's a lot of meaningful literature for me in OA. But this has special meaning. I just keep coming back to it over and over again. I find it one of our most helpful quotes for me. And it says, as we become aware of what our eating guidelines should be, we ask God for the willingness and the ability to live within them each day. We ask and we receive. First the willingness and then the ability. We can count on this without fail. And that's from the 12 steps. And the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'm pretty weepy today, so I'll just be right up front with that. My daughter moved away, and I'm really, really happy for her, but it's really hitting me at a deep level. So I love that reading because it reminds me that I don't even have to have the willingness today. I can pray for the willingness and be granted the ability. And so no matter what my journey has been in recovery, I've come back to that reading over and over again, and it is a great, great benefit to me. So just a few little details about myself. I didn't want to interrupt the meeting, but I came into OA in the year 2000. I'd been in other groups since I was 25. And there was something about the OA program that I needed all those other groups to be able to finally look at my relationship with food and what it was doing to my spiritual and physical and emotional life. And so I've been continually coming to OA since that time, sometimes just totally dedicated service positions, sponsorship. I've always been sponsored. I think that's the key to any 12-step program for me. That's where the magic, that the personal magic can really happen. And so I've been coming since that time, since 2000, and I've maintained my top weight, and maybe we can even show the pictures now. My top weight was over 240. I stopped weighing myself at 240. I was up to over a 26 dress size, and I was miserable. I was totally disconnected from myself. I was in recovery. I think that's the message for me, that I thought I was, you know, just doing it fine. Everything's fine here. And then I'll talk about how I hit my bottom. And then the next picture is me under 140 pounds, which proved to me that I also have the other part of this illness which was anorexia. And then the last picture is me a few years ago at a beach near where I live. That's just me at my normal weight, which is about 155, just in recovery, living life, doing the deal. And I like that picture because my partner took that picture and he since died. And that picture was on his screen. That was his screensaver. Yeah, he was one special man. So, I'd really like not to see those pictures anymore. So like I said, I was in recovery, you know, and I don't take any drugs and I don't drink alcohol. That's bottom line, baseline for me. I can no way maintain any kind of abstinence if that comes into my life. I will be in jail. And that's my bottom line. I'm 100% convinced. And so I hit my bottom in the year 2000. I was in a graduate program at Stanford University, just beating my brains out with family, life, kids, house, job. Took my national boards, I didn't pass. I think that was rocked my world. That was the thing that made me stand up and take a look. And a couple of things happened during that period. One was I could no longer fit into an airplane seat. And I'd go visit my friend every year, and I have my children live out of state. And so I love to travel. So the plane became a very fearful, very shameful place for me. And my world started getting really, really small. And I remember the last time I was in a plane when I was over 240, you know, you have to have the extenders. And I had, in order to cope with being on the plane, I had all this food stuffed in my bag so that I could, have any kind of confidence to get onto that airplane. And then the other thing happened is I was at work and I was helping someone, and I had to bend down to help this person. And I smelled something that was really peculiar. And I went, "Oof, that's bad. This poor person, you know, they should shower more." And I kept circling around that person and not smelling this smell. And I finally got to realize that that smell was me. And I could no longer clean myself. So the internal realization of those things had me hit a bottom, and I never want to go back there. So those, I hold on to those things and I share them with you, even though they're emotional for me, because in some ways they're my most prized possessions. Because I don't have to ever do that again for myself, as long as I remember. So I lost the weight. I think that's the thing for me in being in program a long time is, for me, I could, I've been up and down my whole life. I was considered myself a big person. I'm 5'7" and 155 pounds, but I considered myself a big person. I'd always had trouble with weight, and I could lose the weight, you know? So I started exercising. I started leaving something on the plate. I started watching what I was eating. I went on this food plan. I went on that food plan. And I got to a point where I realized that I could lose the weight, but there was this thing where I had to at some point stop losing weight. And I didn't know how to do that. So there was this sort of high that I got and confidence that I got. The thinner I got, and then the thinner I started becoming, and the less I started eating, and the more I started exercising, I realized there was something wrong with that as well. So those things brought me into OA. In OA, I found help. I found people that were like me. And there's another quote from our literature that says, we were never meant to face this disease in isolation. And I think that's still one of the hardest things for me, is to continue to reach out, that when relationships go their natural way and you're not in that, like one of my original sponsors is not in OA anymore. So when relationships change and evolve, I need to continue to reach out. And it continues to be like first time. You know, it's not like it's, oh, I'm in program a long time and it's so easy calling people. So I continue to do that. So that's what I found in OA. I think that special relationship with people that understand what's going on in my thinking, and then how much we need each other every single day. You know, I think there's a part of us that, at least for me, that wants to like, okay, that's good. Got it. You know, thank you for helping me now. You know, whatever I need to, I should be all right now. But every day it's a new commitment to abstinence. Every day there's a powerlessness that I need to remember. Every day is a chance to start over. I think that's one of the beautiful things of OA too, is that I have in the disease that I have to. I get a chance to start over all the time. So if my food is not perfect, I get a chance to reevaluate. I get a chance to look at what wasn't working. I get a chance to talk to somebody. I get a chance to decide in the very next meal what will work and what will help me feel safe and protected and free. There's a quote I love in our literature where it says, and I'm not sure if it's in our literature, this is just stuff I've heard over the years that I attribute to you guys, is stay in the lifeboat. And so that's, I think in my working the steps and seeing my perfectionism, I think that's one of the things is that I can give up if it's not quote unquote perfect. And so that idea of that it's just information, and that I change and reevaluate and need to make new decisions based on my sponsor and people in the program. So I haven't had to, they told me in program that I had, 10 pounds was my red flag. And for some reason, that's always that stood out for me, that my weight will fluctuate. It's none of my business. I have a healthy body weight that seems to be working and has been, you know, rubber stamped with my sponsor. And that if I get 10 pounds under or 10 pounds over, that I am in danger of relapse, and then I have to recommit to my abstinence. And I'm just like, with all the things that have happened in my life in recovery, you know, losing my partner, the kids coming and going, you know, not passing my national board, going back to and passing it, moving, job changes, you know, life has happened for sure. And to be able to say that I've maintained that body weight is just, it's why I like this reading that I read, because there's a power greater than me that I don't understand and that's still difficult to establish or maintain a relationship with, that's working. It's working in the magic of the program that I experience. And I don't have a willingness, but I get the willingness every time I suit up and show up. And I love that. So recently I just reworked the steps in the workbook with the step sponsor. And I had so many beautiful realizations again. You know, I'm just so grateful to have had to have this literature where we can go back over and over again. And you know, when we become willing, it's there for us to learn new insights and new ways of looking. And I remember one of the questions at the end is, you know, sort of, does anything hold you back from, you know, a spiritual experience or whatever? And I think for me, what came up around that was what I do in OA is I tend to wander off and go to my other programs. And a lot of times I'm reminded that it's, I need to come back and have the experience, strength, the hope of other people in the program. So that that was a really good awareness for me, a spiritual awareness that I'm right where I need to be and I need to stay here. I sponsor someone. So that's been a lovely relationship. She's so willing and so amazing. And I get to talk to her every day. And I was there at her very first meeting, and we're probably 10 years on now. I am sponsored. So I met my sponsor at a speaker convention, and she just was talking my language and had something I wanted. And I was able to connect with her, and we talk almost every day. And then just recently, I've gotten a step sponsor that her amazing availability to me has just been such a gift, such a lovely gift. I think when I think back on my recovery, and I think I have 5 minutes left. Sorry, I'm not clear on the time. When I think back on my recovery, when I first came into program back in 87, I lost my husband, and I had to I got the gift of raising my daughters on my own and finishing my profession and going through and getting a life for us that we could share, that we could be successful in, that I could raise them in. And after about 5 years or so, I remarried, and we had a son, and that relationship was wonderful for a while, and then it wasn't. And I began to use food as a coping mechanism and zoning out. And food is, I'm really clear that food is keeping me from my feelings. And that I go to it when it's an option. I will always go to it for comfort and for solace. It becomes a sort of higher power for me, or security blanket for me. And when I think about, you know, being raised in an alcoholic home and the uncertainty of that and the instability of that and the neglect of that, from a very early age, I used food as a way to comfort, as a way to have friends, to feel at home, to have some kind of comfort. And when I've had trouble in my life, I watched, you know, my parents drink. That's what they did with their problems. They didn't talk about them or solve them. You didn't have feelings. You weren't seen. So, you know, using substances to help with that has been, you know, has been the very wrong thing to actually be seen and to be heard. And the gift of recovery is that I've been able to actually discover, you know, more of that, of a center of there's a person here with thoughts and feelings and loves and dislikes, and how it's cultivated that for me in one day at a time. I mean, just even, you know, knowing I was coming to this meeting, I remembered something I learned in OA, which is, you know, dress becomingly, you know, take a shower, brush your teeth, you know, put on some lip gloss, comb your hair. You know, I tried to be dress becomingly, because it's a sense of self-worth that I don't have naturally. And so it's something that I do on a regular basis to try to help with that inner place that I was talking about, of that self-discovery, and for me to be worth something, to be worth enough to do that for. And so I think that OA has helped me just with, you know, really looking at my relationship with food, you know, really learning new ways to have comfort, to be comforted, to let people in, to not keep people at a distance, to write out my feelings, to have feelings, to say feelings are a good thing, because it means I'm not stuffing them. And I was just thinking how much I get from all of you. Like, we get to hear each other's experience, strength, and hope, and how, you know, if people respond to different situations. You know, I mean, as I've gotten older in program and I'm getting closer to my retirement and my kids have moved away, it's like every day I experience life and show up for life, it's brand new. I've never been this old before. I've never had this situation before. I've never been in this place before. So I need to keep working my program and working my steps and applying everything that I've learned. And, you know, if it wasn't for program, I wouldn't have all these problems I have today. You know, that somebody bashed into my fence. And so I live on a busy street. Now my fence is down. There's dry rot on the back side of the house that needs to get fixed. There always seems to be either a plumbing issue or a something issue. My shed is rotting out. Now the rain is getting in there. And I get to do those things today because I have a house that I was able to put a down payment on, and I make those payments, and I get to enjoy the equity that this house has, even though it doesn't. Thank you. I'll wrap up. Even though the equity means nothing. but I've gotten to be responsible in that way, to care for myself, to I think the self-responsibility that the program has allowed me, you know, we talk about the seventh step, you know, we're self-supporting for our own contributions. I think that's been another great blessing in this program. So thank you so much for your time and attention and for the meeting. I appreciate everyone. And thanks so much.